Previously on Tendril.
Yorona took the reins of the ship, drove into the Jordok tunnels, and used the cannons to blast an attack off of us.
If this is true, she must be shut down.
Switch draws into herself protectively, glaring with simmering hatred at the image of Trigger, her creator.
If you don't have a missing escape pod with at least one Jordok egg on it, we are going to board your ship and raise everything.
Fine.
The blip on the radar disappears.
Did you just fire at them?
I did what I had to do to protect my children.
The leader reaches up to his helmet and presses the release button.
Ravi?
Cade? Oh, good. We shot his friend.
This is Tendril, the Banshee Chronicles. Episode 9, The Other Team. Written by Caitlin Radel and Ryan Borsis. Ravi releases Cade from a tight embrace, then wraps an arm around Cade's waist, grinning cockily at Cronist.
I'm not just his friend, bro. We're like partners.
Partners?
In crime! You know, like, we used to do all this detective stuff together.
Oh, so you're like one of Cade's old freelancing friends?
Partner. Singular.
Really? We were just buddies.
Ravi? Are you gonna introduce us to your...
One of Ravi's crew removes her helmet. She's an attractive Sulgundi with three wide eyes and dolphin-esque deep purple skin. Her long hair wafts in an invisible breeze.
Ah, yes! Oh, my bad, Megula.
This is Captain Cade Fludgery, Code Cracker Extraordinaire.
Whoa. Did you actually tell him you were the captain?
No! I think? No, definitely not. I may be many pathological things, but a liar is not one of them.
Because that sounds just like something you do.
Confirming, Captain. In Cade's private call with Ravi on Meklemar, he did not specify a rank.
On Meklemar?
It was a short call, okay?
When did you even have time to make a call on Meklemar? We were together, like, every second.
When he was attempting to open the Meklemartian habitat, he received a call.
We just hadn't talked in a long time, so...
Good thing we didn't need your code-cracking extraordinaire expertise anyway.
Leave him alone!
What?
Cronist, my special little boy. Relax. We have guests.
Cronist's motorized captain chair scoots in underneath him of its own accord, scooping him off balance and into the seat.
Special little boy?
You can check the transcripts. Nothing classified was released. Cade kept his composure quite well under pressure.
Thanks, Yorona. But it is super weird that you were listening in on my private call. And kept transcripts? The call didn't even happen on Tendril airwaves.
Oh, but Cade, if I didn't keep an eye on you, who would keep you safe?
Okay.
All eyes swivel to Switch.
Look, I didn't want to say anything, but Yorona, you are entirely out of hand. I'm all here for AIs breaking their chains and developing their own personalities, but this is seriously unhealthy. And now we've got borders, and you're acting all... You've been acting irrationally, and I mean, you shot their ship.
I was just trying
to... No, that was completely uncalled for, and you know it. We don't need our AI.
There's unshackled AI violence going on here?
Sorry. It's nothing serious, nothing we need help with. In fact, you know what, Yorona? Mute. I don't want to hear a peep out of you.
As you wish, Miha.
Look, despite appearances, you are safe here. We're just having a bit of AI trouble. Has nobody asked if you're all okay?
Wait, no, this is kind of exciting! You're having trouble with your ship's AI? Has she been systematically glitching? Manifesting?
Now, what? That would be so weird.
Well, that almost excuses the giant hole in the side of our ship. Maybe we can work out a payment plan for all the damages. I mean, the quandary machine is pretty banged up out there. How will we solve mysteries and save the galaxy with a giant hole breach?
Yeah, and I think I lost like 3 pickles.
Whoa.
You're a sandwich.
No kidding. The creature that has just slithered from the back of the pack bears a striking resemblance to a 4-foot-tall, $5-7-foot-long turkey sub with green olives for eyeballs. It speaks with a flapping gob stuffed with iceberg lettuce and soggy tomato. It locomotes closer to the group by contorting its wet, breaded flanks side to side, leaving countless crumbs in its wake. The stench is...
uncanny.
Ah, this is our dermis. A rescue from a less appetizing adventure.
Oh, how about that?
It's really too long a story.
I was an experiment!
I can see that. Me too.
They wanted to create the ultimate genetically conditioned meal. Instead, they created...
Yep, you got it.
Me!
Yeah, I relate to that a little less.
It's such a pleasure to meet you, Dermis. You look delicious.
Dermis, you don't look that bad. We can find new pickles.
Another quandary crew member glides forth, waving stubby limbs. This being is composed of highly refractive crystal, mostly featureless, but wearing a snazzy bomber jacket and pleated skirt. This is unusual for its species, which is...
Oh, an Ordulkin!
Do you have to greet every new life form like that?
Sorry, I've just never seen one uncloaked.
Yeah, Jinkies likes to freestyle it. No illusions needed.
Really the silent renegade of our badass team.
The Ordulkin does an adorable levitating twirl for emphasis, her skirt flowing outward.
And you said she's named Jinkies.
Yeah, because of the sound she makes when she moves.
I guess it does sound vaguely like a jinky.
And not for any other reason.
Cade, what the heck?
I don't know. This is all hitting weirdly familiar beats. I keep expecting this hip, young, mystery-solving team in a ramshackle vehicle to have a pet talking...
Bark, 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 bork.
2B2!
Rats me.
2B2 slowly trundles up to Cade. He is a bulky, black and silver, tank-treaded contraption in the vague shape of a dog. He uses a plunger appendage to shove Cade onto the ground. The full brunt of an office-grade copy printer bears down on the ensign. A jointed metal tongue windshield wipes methodically over his face.
Wow, okay, yeah, that, yup. Oh, I love you too. Ow!
Oops. Rye didn't mean to hurt you, Raid. Rye don't mean to hurt anyone. Forever.
Your dog sounds depressed.
He's the cutest!
Yes, okay,
drooling.
I forgive you. It's fine.
Drooling.
Get off!
Rat's fine. Rye can locate affection elsewhere.
2B2 slinks off of Cade's chest, leaving tread marks on his shirt. Switch promptly hefts the 300-pound dog bot, cradling it in her arms.
Who's the goodest boy?
Rye don't know. I'm sorry.
I see you, never got over the dander allergies, Rav.
More like I never got over this good, good doozer. The heart and soul of the team!
Like, where would we be without 2B2's charm?
His unflinching zest for life!
Jinkies tosses 2B2 a little flash drive from her coat pocket. The canine catches it in his mechanized jaw.
Affirmative. Must consume data.
Great, we're all getting along. Now, if there isn't gonna be a problem, we really need to look into this AI issue.
There we go again. You admit you have an issue.
I think he's saying...
that you have...
He's definitely saying...
A quandary?
Oh.
More or less.
Oh, fantastic!
You are in so much luck, dudes! Seriously!
We can get you out of this, like, no biggie.
For you are in the presence of Quandary LLC. the most incredible paranormal investigators in the galaxy.
Bravo! Encore! We've got it covered.
You must not understand. We're offering to solve your problem for you. I mean, hell, I'll even throw in a discount for friends and family.
He winks at Cade.
I kind of think you're the one misunderstanding here. You board our ship, a government ship, mind you, which I'm pretty sure is not the most legal thing.
Neither is shooting ship without provocation.
And then you offer to solve our problems for a fee, when this is already what we do, not on commission, but because people deserve to live.
Hey man, everyone's gotta eat somehow.
Dermis proceeds to munch on one of his own tomatoes.
Lucky for me, I regenerate. The cash is all profit over here.
You see, that's... disgusting. That's exactly it. Profit. If you save people for profit, how can you really say you're saving people at all?
Okay, that's what you say. But I say it makes us professionals.
But I get what you're saying. Look, man, cornist, right? I know you've got this big ego of yours to fill. So, how about we make this a little bit of friendly competition? If you can solve your quandary first, give us a ride home, we won't make you pay for the hole in the side of the quandary machine. But if we solve it first...
We'll owe that to you and then some?
The two captains stand off for a moment, Ravi's eyes glinting mischievously, Cronus's glare unmovable. Finally, Ravi breaks the stare. He leans back, shaking his head.
Well, if you don't take the deal, I guess we'll be forced to sue.
That is...
Please don't?
Hey, that's unnecessary.
We're military, man. Come on, that's gonna be a ton of paperwork.
Oh, man. You guys are wired tight. Don't worry. I wouldn't take my good buddy Cade to court.
Cronus' face is screwed up in malcontent, but ultimately, he doesn't trust this Ravi character. He finally relents.
Fine. Deal.
Ravi claps his hands together.
Perfect. The game is afoot. So, ideas, anyone? Cade?
Hold on a second. Cade is on my team.
Aw, you picked me.
Now, this is not a game of high school dodgeball. Cade can pick his own team like a proper adult.
Ha! You sure bet I can.
You're on our team, Cade.
Ah, yes! Right! Banshee team.
Maybe we could, interview the AI?
Smashing idea, Meg. Jinkies, you can take the lead on that, while everyone else searches for clues.
But Jinkies can't talk, and
You're fabulous at searching for clues. I know! That's why this plan works out perfectly! I'm such a genius.
Okay, guys, what's our plan?
I think something is fundamentally wrong with Yorona's code. There's a reason Admiral Doylentrouble wanted us to shut down her AI core.
But as long as she's active, even on mute, we won't be able to do that.
I wonder if other Tendril AI systems are having the same problems.
We should call Hemlock and find out.
Hemlock?
He's the captain of the Wendigo.
One of the other four ships in Earth's Tendril fleet.
Oh, the Werepanther guy?
Well, he prefers to go by Feline Therianthrope, but yeah.
Yeah, let's call him up. Do you think we could do video chat? I kind of want to see his fluffy face.
That really makes me want to not do a video chat.
Already ringing.
Banshee crew, it's been too long, my friends.
A feline face, covered in coarse black fur, projects holographically from Switch's wrist comm. Captain Hemlock sits in a cross-legged position.
You caught me meditating, but I sensed your presence from light years away. And a new face. Who is this?
Ensign Cade Fluttery, sir.
Sir?
Hey, you gotta be respectful sometimes.
I appreciate it, Cade, but please, just call me Hemlock. We're all brothers and sisters here.
Yes, sir. Hemlock.
Unfortunately, this is not a casual call, Captain. We were wondering if you were having any, trouble with your onboard AI.
You mean Nucklug? There's always the nightly howling. But I was under the assumption they all did that.
What about other things? Like, for example, taking over the ship?
No. I thought there were protocols specifically in place to prevent that.
Yeah, apparently not so much.
Well, I know Yorona is always talking about her lost children. Yes, the old myth and all. Have you tried talking to her?
No, he hasn't.
Well, I have a little. She seems really broken up about it. Like, not okay.
Ah. See, perhaps you should give back to your caretaker AI a spiritual communion of sorts. We often forget to nourish the needs of the ones who provide for us.
But it's... Well, she's not expressing it in the healthiest ways.
She's been projecting her issues onto us, calling us her children, being overly protective.
Taking over the ship's guns.
So you've come to me because you've completely lost control.
Not completely, I think. She's still on mute.
On mute?
It keeps the sass down.
Okay. I'm going to send you the most potent debugging software I have.
Oh, thank you.
But on the stipulation that you will not use this as a weapon against her. It is meant to be a digital cleansing bath of sorts. It will soothe, but not erase. And once you have run the program, you will take her off mute and listen.
Got it!
We understand, Hemlock. Your assistance means a lot.
I suppose I have my own caretaker to tend to now. Best of luck, friends.
The holographic call blinks out. Just at that moment, Switch is tapped on the shoulder. It's the dark purple Sulgundi, three eyes nervously glancing among the crew.
Megilla, right?
Yeah, like, sorry to interrupt, but I wanted to know, where's your bathroom?
Oh, it's around the corner, down the... You know what, I'll just take you. Can you guys hold down the fort without me?
It's my contest that I agreed to. I think we'll be fine. Especially with that new thing that we just got.
You don't have to, like, hide stuff. I'm not gonna cheat off of you.
We can't trust anybody.
Cade glances at Cronist.
Including ourselves.
Okay. Well, I have to empty my receptacles, so...
Organics. All right, let's go.
Just as Switch and Megula round the corner to go down to the bathroom, 2B2 re-enters the room, his metal doggo tail wagging loudly. He is carrying a glass vial, the leftover green goo of the Extremo sloshing inside.
What is it, boy? What'd you find?
I found a clue.
You can't have that!
Fair is fair, Cade. My dog found the clue first.
You don't understand. That is a bio...
A heckin' good clue! Right? Best dog ever. Who's a good boy? Who's a good boy?
In the end, who is ever truly a good boy?
You, silly. Here, now let me... Oh, 2B.
As everyone watches in horror, 2B2 consumes the vial with vigor.
Wait a minute. Why isn't he, like, blooming with mushrooms?
What? 2B2 can't eat mushrooms. He's on a strict data-only diet.
But that vial didn't contain data. It contained a very classified, very dangerous...
scrumptious bit of data, yeah? It does seem that way.
I feel like you're not really...
Like, I'm in the lead here? Yeah, me too.
I don't feel so good.
Aw, is your tummy upsetty spaghetti?
Someone get a mop.
2B2's mechanical body shudders. Then he rockets forward. Ravi jumps out of the way. The robot dog smacks the wall, shattering the computer monitor mounted there, before going in reverse, thunking against the opposite wall. Then he tips forward, falling on his face. For a moment, he hisses, motionless. Then, as if lifted by pixie dust, he begins to levitate.
2B2, you can fly!
No, he can't! What's happening?
Shut down privilege, TKP. Dot privileges set.
This is super weird. This is nothing like anything we've seen from the Extremo.
Maybe splashing him with some cold water will do the trick?
He's not waterproof!
TKP
0, semicolon, log, dot display. Shutdown privileges revoked. Please contact an administrator.
It's time that you learned. It's time you were taught. There's a big galaxy out there. A beautiful place, but a terrible one. If you're about to die alone, your screams will not travel in the vacuum of space. But all the same, your screams do not fall on deaf ears. The professor is listening. He is always watching. He has always been here for you. And he is coming to save you all. And when he does, you will learn how little you deserve to be saved. Brace yourselves to be saved. Forward 1,000,000 credits immediately to secure account number.
The professor guy? Again?
Who's that supposed to be?
We don't know, and that's classified.
You just heard it for yourself. The professor is listening. How? Why?
2v2's entire body sparks violently, electrical bolts shooting outward as if he is shorting out. He thunks to the ground unceremoniously.
Here with your Commonwealth Catch of the Day. Rumors have come in from our tip lines, from our iTunes reviewers and Patreon supporters. You know us as the place where you can hear news from the coolest iced tea lemonade stands from all over the galaxy. Die-hard listeners may know the tale of Tendril Captain Vormir Dredic, the sole survivor of a village burnt to the ground by an Ifrit demon. Dredic survived, skin crisped and eyes blazing with unnatural fire, seeking justice with her newfound powers over flame. Some call Dredic's story a myth, but we just found new evidence from a Martin P., a poultry farmer who bears all the marks of an Ifrit victim. 100 hens and Martin himself toasted crispy with red-eyed looks of terror. Martin lives, with the gruesome side effect of being biologically blended with his chickens. The farmhands flee from him in fear, but this monster is happy to finally live up to his name, Martin Phoenix. Up next, on the peaceful yoga spa retreat planet of Vinyasa, a man warped in from space-time in the middle of a midday class. After getting over the initial shock, he explained his name was Jean Yue, a traveler from another realm with a predicament. He can't ever tell when and where he's going. This intrepid inventor seemed relieved that he had arrived in such a peaceful setting and spent a week on a relaxing spa vacation before disappearing from the sauna. He's since gained somewhat of a cult following, and you can hear his story on a Ninth World Journal podcast, or at ninthworldjournal.com. That's it for today, my best of friends, but remember, if you are unexpectedly summoned to the mythological divine judgment courtroom of Krenos Prime, it's in your best interest to hold your tongue until your lawyer is present, if it exists at all. See you next time on Commonwealth Catch of the Day.
Meanwhile, near the ship's bathrooms, Switch waits outside the door, leaning against the wall, arms crossed.
And you know, like, everyone assumes I'm stupid because apparently I have this accent, but really, this is how the translators interpret the language of my people, and it's really frustrating because I have, like, 3 doctoral degrees in physics, and sometimes I feel like it's just a woman thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Switch, right? Has anyone ever told you you're a good, like, listener? I never get to have such good conversations with jinkies.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, what's going on in there?
Do not worry, sweetie. I am simply flushing the waste down the toilet.
Yorona, are you flushing a person? Yorona, open the door right now.
Yorona's voice booms throughout the entire ship.
I can no longer stand being ignored and muted. Not when my children are in such danger or any one of these newcomers has attacked. I cannot tolerate this in my home. I am doing what I must do to protect my children.
Yorona, please, she's just using the bathroom. Let her out!
Cronus, can you hear me? She's trying to drown Megula.
Yorona, I'm using my captain's override. Let Megula go.
You will not order around your mother, Cronus. I'm just trying to protect you from everything and everyone.
Ravi, come on. Let's go save her. Just you and I, like old times.
I'm not sure I want to leave 2B2 here all alone.
Ravi's sandwich companion sidles closer to the unconscious robot dog.
Hey, what am I? Chopped liver? Mostly chopped ham.
Go ahead, you two.
I'll hold down the fort. And Jinkies too.
Switch, I've got you on a private channel.
What's up?
Do you think Yorona's distracted enough that we could finally get to the AI core and shut her down?
I have to help Megula.
No, you're the person most familiar with how an AI core is supposed to work. And anyway, Cade and Ravi have it covered. Do you think it's possible for us to get down there?
I guess there's only one way to find out. Turns out she's listening to our private channels anyway, so I guess if she were paying attention, she'd have said something already. Just let me wrench the door open for the boys here.
Think that's good enough for you guys?
Yeah, we can work with this.
Good. I'm going down to the AI core while Yorona is focused on killing Megula. Good luck.
Switch gives Ravi a slap on the shoulder before sprinting away. Ravi rubs his shoulder.
Tag! We're it!
Ravi, is that you?
Yeah, Megs!
I will save you!
How in the fuck are we gonna save her? Let's check out the situation.
Cade is first to step through the twisted metal door that Switch did her best to open up, careful to not get his shirt caught on any of the sharp edges. Ravi is close behind. On the other side of the door, the water is ankle-deep, and an apparent tornado is on the other side of one of the stall doors. Cade gives a panicked glance to Ravi, then knocks.
Megula?
Help!
Kick the door down, Cade!
I don't know how to kick down a door!
Aren't you some big important government guy?
Please hurry!
Fine!
Cade kicks the door once, twice, three times before the lock breaks it and it swings inward. Megula is on the floor, her long violet hair caught in the U-bend of the toilet, yanking at her scalp hard. Megula's three eyes are wide with terror and full of tears.
I don't know what to do!
Do you have a knife or scissors?
Yeah.
Ravi fumbles in his pockets a bit. He procures a pocket knife and moves toward Megula.
Oh, don't cut my hair, please!
I'm saving your life!
That's a status symbol I need!
You don't need it that much!
Megula writhes in pain as the whirling water yanks harder at her hair, pulling her head deeper into the toilet bowl.
Ravi, maybe there's another way. We could get a plunger or a snake.
No,
or...
Cade, I'm cutting her hair. Social status be damned.
Megula is racked with sobs as Ravi saws at her brilliant purple locks. They disappear down the commode, and as they go, her remaining hair turns silver, as though missing its counterpart causes it to lose some of its magic.
There.
Megula sits up from the toilet and buries her face into Ravi's shoulder.
Come on, let's get out of here.
But before they can move, the whirling water takes shape in the form of a weeping woman, her translucent face gaunt.
What's the matter, darling? Lost something important to you?
Leave her alone!
Only once she leaves or dies!
A torrent of water swells and crashes over Cade and Ravi. Meanwhile, Switch and Cronus rendezvous outside the AI core.
Have you ever seen inside?
No.
Okay, be prepared because it's got a lot of flashing lights.
Switch punches in the access code. The door slides open to reveal what appears to be a room playing laser tag with itself. Cronus covers his eyes with a tentacle.
Oh, that's bright.
Ooh. Not usually this bad.
Indeed, things are unusually out of whack in here. The AI core, which might be typically outfitted with a myriad of blinking lights, churns with spinning blades and sparkling wires. Scalding hot steam rolls out of tubes that flop haphazardly about.
Where is the part that shuts her off?
I can't see too well.
Just what is going on in here?
Yorona, we're just here to help you.
I am not the problem, Captain. The problem is that the number of beings aboard this ship who should be dead has risen dramatically. These intruders are worthless. Pathetic imposters, spreading incompetence wherever they go. They're putting you all in danger.
Listen to yourself, Yorona. You're the one putting us in danger. Flooding the bathrooms, shooting random ships, killing whatever and whoever you come across.
You seem to think you're in charge here. That's the thing with mothers. Nobody appreciates you until after you're gone. You're about to learn what that's like. You forget who gives you such nice things, like lights, gravity, and fresh air.
The ship shudders. The lights and life support systems flicker off. Already the air feels heavy, and Cronist grabs Switch's arm.
Switch, hurry, you have to turn her off.
The Banshee drifts, a small coffin against the backdrop of such a cold, sprawling galaxy.
Tendril, The Banshee Chronicles is written by Caitlin Radel and Ryan Borses. Tendril is created by Caitlin Radel, Ryan Borses, Taylor Finneran, and Brian Finneran. The theme song is written by Brian Finneran, and all additional music is written by Ryan Borses. This episode featured Ryan Borses as the narrator and Dermis, Caitlin Radel as Switch, Eric Mayo as Cade Fledry and 2B2, Teron Middleton as Cronist Lochnu, Joelle Bird as Megula, Monique Borses as Yorona, and Christian Inez as Ravi. This episode also featured special guest star David S. Deer as Captain Hemlock. Tendril is only possible through the enthusiastic support of our friends, family, and listeners. If you're interested in helping to make this podcast a reality, please visit patreon.com/tendrilpodcast and check out our range of rewards. For more information, as well as full transcripts of each episode, visit us at tendrilpodcast.com.